Okay, so here we go. We are Siman Reish Mem Vav, so Sif He. So Sif He, we'll just touch on the Makor here and then move on to Sif Vav, which is where the real action is tonight, because Sif He seems to connect to something that's going to be later on. So the Torah writes here. Yeah, page Yud Aleph, at least in mine, it's Yud Aleph. So Makom Shenogu Lumod Torah Shebechsav B'schar Mutter Mutter. Lumud b'schar, about Torah. Lamed b'schar. Right. The place where the minhag is to teach Torah shebichsav b'schar, mutter lamed b'schar, is permissible to teach it for money. Aval Torah shebal peh asur lamed b'schar. But when it comes to Torah shebal peh, then it's prohibited to teach for money. It sounds like even if it's the minhag. What are we talking about? Makom shenagu. What does that have to do? What is that referring to? So the Gemara is, this is actually a Gemara from Maseches Nedarim, and the Gemara starts off by saying, if I swear off benefit from somebody else, so can I learn Torah from him? So I can only learn Torah from him, so it would be then prohibited if I would benefit from it. So the Torah itself is not really a benefit, but if I would otherwise have to pay, so then I am benefiting from the fact that I'm not going to be paying him. So in a place where the minhag is to teach Torah Shebichsav for payment, so then I am not allowed to learn from this guy that I've sworn off benefit from, because I'd be saving money, because otherwise I'd have to teach someone else. But Torah Shebal Peh, it's prohibited to teach for payment. So lo matzah misha ilam debuchinam yilam debuschar. If you can't find anybody that will pay you, that will do it for free, so then you can pay. Just even though you need to pay, so don't say when you get older, just as I have to pay, so I'm going to get paid. But it's best to teach others for free. But nowadays, we don't see anything like this. Everybody gets paid. If you don't have anything else to make a living off, so it's mutter. Even if you do have, so if because you're learning, you're not able to do other things, so then you can get that money. Okay, and the lamed like tanim shar mishum schar shimur v'schar pisuk tamim. Teaching children is okay because you're getting paid by the, first of all, you're watching them, so you get paid because of that. Besides notwithstanding the Torah, you're teaching them, or you're teaching them the tamim, the way of reading, which for some reason is not included in this type of Torah. I'm not sure. I didn't get it. What that is, teaching them how to lane, or the stops, or the pauses, right, how, or the trap. That's okay. So the Beis Yosef here says, yeah, that's in. This is in Gemara Maseches Nedarim, where we say in the Beis Yosef here, I'm reading that field, Makom Shenogu Dimschar Al Mikra, even in the Beis Yosef. Hey, that right, the Gemara Nedarim, I'm reading that field, Makom Shenogu Dimschar Al Mikra, Shari Le Mishkal Al Hamedrash Lo Shari. So, but if you get paid for the Mikra for Torah Shebichsav, it's permissible, but to get money for Medrash, it's not okay. Le Mishkal, what's the difference? It's a Midrash. Maishna midrash delo. Because the pasuk tells us, "Rol amati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tivani Hashem." See that I have taught you chukim mishpatim as Hashem taught me. Ma ani bechinam. The Gemara adds in, "Avatav bechinam." Just as I taught you for free, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I didn't get paid for teaching you." So avatav bechinam. So too, you will teach it for free. So mikra na bechinam. That's the case. Mikra also. So text chumash also should be for free. So Rav Amar schar shimur. Rav Yochanan Amar schar pisuk tamim. He says, "Well, they both give different hetayim. Rav says it's okay because you're getting paid for watching them. Rabbi Yochanan says you're getting paid for these pisuk tamim, the way of teaching the trup and the pauses and the cantillations. So perish hamafarish. So perish hamafarish. Rav Amar my time hetayru lemishgal schar min hamikra mifnish einotan schar el al schar. One second. Perish hamafarish. And the reason way we explain hamafarish, right? Hamafarish is on Maseches Nedarim. Because it's, even though it's not Rashi, right? So the Mefarish there explains that Rav Amar Maitai Matiru L'Mishkal Schar Mina Mikra Mifnei She'ein Noten Schar El Al Schar Shim. She's only getting paid for watching them. Shemisharim Hatinoku She'im Anichin Usan Latzis V'Lasuk Udvarim B'Teilat. You're not going to go and do other things. V'Lo Schar Limur HaMikra. You're not actually getting paid for teaching the Chassid per se. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even that's okay. Schar Pisuk Tamim is okay. Shachil Minayu Shemalamdo Nikud V'Tamim. They teach them the kudos and the trup. V'Lavdo Raisu, that's not the So Vishari Lethal Schar 11, you're permitted to get paid for that. Okay, so the Ran then adds in, V'ikabin Rav Rabbi Yochanan Lamun Mikra L'Gadol. Okay, so what about teaching adults Mikra? Deloba Yishimor, they don't require Shimor, but yet are you allowed to get paid? So according to Rav, it would be Asr, it's really the piece of time in Doraisa. Plus he holds that the pisuk tamim, the trumpet, those things are actually real Torah. Well, Rabbi Yochanan shari mishum schar pisuk tamim, because Rabbi Yochanan says that it's okay because pisuk tamim became in the kaimelan rav Rabbi Yochanan lachak Rabbi Yochanan nachtin dafilu gadol shari litol schar al mikra, to teach chumash to an adult that is permissible for payment. V'kachim divrei Rama perikvav mechus adarm akal lashono v'chein yeri gamkein midivrei perikvav mechus tana Torah, that the Rambam writes that as well. Then you look at the bottom here. It says v'chasov, the bottom part of Eishes. So v'chasov the rush. Mashenagwa idna alamid hakol b'schar, where he gets paid. So perkaniska, that's in there. And Tosa says that as well. And the Ran says that as well. The Ran actually in Maseches Nedarim, when it goes through the. So the Ran, everyone in the Ran is on the page in Maseches Nedarim in the front, and the Ran has a lot to say in Nedarim, and he even sometimes, not so rarely, will just say Ul Inyan Halacha, and that's what he's quoting from here. Ul Inyan Halacha, that we permit nowadays that everybody can get paid for everything because it's necessary, etc. Well, it's not necessarily ideal. I mean, maybe it's not ideal, but that's just the way it works. I remember when I got my first job, the first time I ever got paid for teaching Torah was in college. There was a program, maybe it still goes on, there's a long time program at Fifth Avenue Synagogue, where I used to go one night a week, used to go and have some kind of chavrusa program took place at Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and it was really for Smicha guys, and I knew the assistant rabbi there, and I was able to get myself in, even though I was only a lowly college student. But yet, there I went every week, learned with this guy, and I got paid $50 a week, which was like pretty good money for learning for an hour. So I remember mentioning this to my uncle, to Rabbi Rosenzweig, saying, "Look at that! Like, isn't this cool? Like, I'm getting paid." And he said, "Why did you get paid? What, you wouldn't learn with him if you weren't getting paid?" So I made me feel kind of bad. But so anyway, but that's the stint. That's the stint. It's really best if one does not get paid for these kinds of things. Okay.
It's something like you should buy MS but not sell it or something. You brought that proof that you shouldn't teach for money or something. Torah Shabbat, I can't remember the possible.
So why is there a distinction between the Baal Peh and the Torah Shabbat?
So
do they mean just Torah, like the Chumash and the Tanakh, and you can get paid for that, and not
so it's unclear. It seems like it really shouldn't be that way. It seems like that really shouldn't be. It's really based on this pasuk. It really seems to be both. I think it's working off that that's what the minhag was. That's my read. Okay. Actually, yes, you're right. You're right. Come here, Sheldon. Come back. It's
found
okay.
Found it.
They didn't find it. But yes, the Beis Yosef here. That's the Beis Yosef I skipped over. Oh. That the Lo Matz Mishal Land Bechim Yom Beschar. That's what the Rambam writes, and he quotes it from a Gemara in Maseches Bechoros. The Gemara in Maseches Bechoros seems to quote a pasuk that it would imply that it would only be Torah Shabbat and not Torah Shabbat Peh. That one would be permitted to get paid for. But I don't have the pasuk here, but I'll trust you that there's. Okay, so the truth is it's not the issue of getting paid. He discusses at length here the issue of getting paid just for learning. I mean, being in the kol, does that make it better? Does that make it worse? But he discusses in the context of Siv Chafalf, where there's a longer discussion about this topic. So we'll save that discussion for when we get later on. So instead, we'll just move on to Vav for now. So in Vav, this is a, and it is. Let's try to do this with an open mind. There may be strong feelings about this at the table, but let's just see what the texts themselves say and see where that leads us. So the Torah here quotes Kasav Rambam: "So Isha Shalom the Torah Yish Laschar Aval Lo Bischar Ish." That the Rambam tells us that a woman who learns Torah, she gets reward, but not like the reward of a man. Why? Because she's not not, she doesn't have a specific chiyuv. And anytime somebody does something that they're not specific, they don't have a chiyuv in, so their chiyuv is not, their schar, their reward is not like somebody who is commanded on it. And we'll see, I mean, the Shach and others explain, because he's living with the constant A, Yetzirah, right, and B, anxiety about fulfilling it. Fine. So the afal pishi yeshlo schar, but and even though that they really do get schar, they still get schar. Sabu chachamim shelo yilmud adam esbito Torah. Still, the chachamim said that a person shouldn't teach his Torah, his daughter Torah, if they sherov nashim ein daitem mechuvenes liislame, because most women don't have the. We'll just say capacity to be able to learn, and we'll see in divrei Torah l'divrei havai, and the Torah will be used for divrei havai wastefulness, or perhaps even worse. Why lefi anias daitan for their in their lack of knowledge. Lachain amr chacham kam malam lebita Torah. Therefore, the chacham said, anybody who teaches their daughter Torah ki'ilu malam the tiflus, as if they taught them tiflus, which also is a difficult word to translate anywhere from nothingness to waste of time to even things that could be worse than that. That you've taught them like ways of manipulating. So medvar mamurim, where we say this, so b'torah shebichsav. So b'torah shebichsav. About b'torah shebal peh lo. That you don't have to teach them either, but if you teach them, so that last section is clearly a telesofer. That's clearly a mistake. That's a flip. That's what that little note tells you there.
It seems like it should be flipped.
That is, right, that's he's just, the Torah is copying from the Rambam, and the Rambam was flipped, but the.
So they can learn.
Right. So it's Torah Shebichsav is okay.
Yeah.
Torah Shebal Peh is really where the problems lie. Fine. So where do we get this? So where is this coming from? So the first, the issue of the issue of schar. So that's coming out of the Gemara Maseches Kedushin. Maseches Kedushin has that equation. It doesn't. I don't think it says the schar thing issue specifically with regards to learning Torah, but it's extrapolating from the other mitzvos there that are being discussed. And also explicitly there is the din that a daughter is not chayiv in Talmud Torah, and a father is not chayiv to teach the Torah. So there's certainly no absolute chiyuv along those lines, except for where there possibly might be, where we'll see. But what's this issue with the Tiflus? So that's the Gemara Masechta Sota. Why is it, what is it doing in Masechta Sota? So the Gemara, so it's just interesting how it gets to that point. If a woman drinks, so she doesn't, so the Gemara says that she has certain zechuyos, so it's not going to get her. Either it's not going to get her right away, or it's not going to get her, it's unclear what that means. So the Gemara asks, well, what zechus could a woman possibly have? Well, you think that she learned Torah? She's not allowed to learn Torah. That clearly wouldn't be the zechus, right? And then it gets into this discussion about not teaching them Torah. So the Beis Yosef quotes from that Mishnah Masechta Sota. This is a Hadas Nah. It's based on the Mishnah. If she has a schus,
which
in the Beis Yosef here, where it says Sota Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that imish zuchus, if she has a merit tolola, amrina begemara zuchus demai. So what's this zuchus? Ilim zuchus de Torah ha'ina mitzuva osei. She was not mitzuva osei, so that wouldn't be a zuchus. So perish Rashi to keep it ina mitzuva ain schara gadol ki mitzuva osei. She's not getting that much schar. So Rashi already modifies it a little bit in saying that no, she would get schar for learning, but that can't possibly be enough schar that would be able to save her from the from the meisota. I'm not sure how we know that. I mean, if she's getting schar, like, how do you know exactly what the equation is of what's going to save her from the mesota? But anyways, fine. So Masha Kasa, what does it say? It then also says, V'chola osa davar she'in mitzuvah lav ein schar kishar mitzvah v'osa. Oh, this way. I thought, okay, I didn't see it earlier, but here it is. Meimad Rabbi Chanina b'parakam de kedushin v'reish of Odezara, and those are their comments. She'atam ifnei she'a mitzvah doeg tamid levatel yitzro ulekai mitzvah sparo, because he's constantly worried about negating his yitzhara and being able to fulfill those mitzvahs. And what does it say? The image you get scarred, the Chacham said not to do it. So the Mishnah says, yeah, that's a machlokus between Ben Azai and Reb Eliezer, and we paskin like Reb Eliezer. Ben Azai says that she could learn, right? And Reb Eliezer says that she shouldn't, and therefore we paskin like Reb Eliezer against Ben Azai. And what's the final thing it says here? Mashik Amed Varamun, B'Torah Shebaksav, Al-Torah Shebalpeh. So there it is. Beis Yosef himself says it's a Tos Sofer. Yish Kan Kiva Sifri HaRamam Kasu B'Hepach. So it's a Tos Sofer in the Tor, but the Rambam has it the opposite way. Kasu B'Hepach, Amed Varamun, B'Torah Shebalpeh, Al-Torah Shebaksav, V'Chein Muchichim Hadvar. So that's that's the starting point. So already there's a couple of oddities here. Meaning it's hard to say that there's a prohibition. Who do we seem to be directing the prohibition at in this section?
The father,
right? It's like the father teaches him, so he's done something wrong, right? It doesn't seem to be focused on the girl. It seems to be focused on the father. That is that already is a tip that there is some issue going on. You can't, and it would be hard to say that it is a blanket prohibition.
One of the questions is what tzivu means. I mean, usually tzivu means to command, but a lot of people interpret this as it's like advice.
What do you mean, Sivu?
Sivu Chachamim. That a person shouldn't teach his daughter Torah.
That was how it...
That's what it says.
Yeshua's was called... Tzavu Chachamim shall yimudu adam yasir be the Torah. Okay.
Fine. It's not necessarily like a nevera. It's just... something they suggest.
Okay, or not. I mean, tzavu is a pretty strong word.
Yeah, it can be.
It didn't say advise, it said tzavu. But I think the stronger oddity is that it seems to be something about the father, not with regards to the daughter. So the prisha here, we'll just start here. The prisha. Now, all right. The Prisha is it is well known that his wife was a big Tamida Chachama, to the point that there is a famous in the introduction to Yeridaya in the Prisha and Drisha are the same person. I think Rabbi Yeshua Fuck. So his son wrote the introduction to the Prisha and Drisha that's found in Yeridaya, and there he talks about his mother also a lot, and it says, and these are two chidushim that my mother taught, and one of them is very prominent, and that is that his mother got very upset at people that they would light yontif candles after it became dark. So she was very upset about that shouldn't be done. One should light the yontif candles before yontif. One shouldn't wait till after yontif to light yontif candles. So, but he's praising her specifically as someone who was learned, quoting her halacha. I mean, that's not just like a word of advice from a motherly figure. It's just she's on the list of women that seem to clearly be involved in learning Torah. But the Prisha himself writes, "Avalim lando la'atzma." That if she learns by herself, so we see that she has left the majority. And therefore we wrote that she does get reward. That she learns it from its, I think it means from its source, from its...
upon its basis.
Yeah. That it won't, that it's not going to lead to these... to these wasteful things. About ha'av eino rishai lelanda, but the father shouldn't teach her the dilma totsi divreha ledivrei havai, because we are concerned that it will lead that way. Ki eino yodea masha beliba, because he doesn't know what's in her heart. So what's he saying here? The pishuk seems to be going in both directions at once. On one hand, he's saying, well, she could do it on her own, but the father should, because she knows what's in her heart, she'll be able to do it well. But if the father teaches her, so then we have a problem. So we already see a little bit of a break in the armor here, that there might be some room for some permissibility. Okay, so let's just...
So it could also not apply to the school, someone who's not a father who's teaching.
Yeah, so hold on. We'll get there. So let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch itself. So Shulchan Aruch is pretty much a quote from the Torah, which is really a quote from the Rambam. But right off the bat, he points out in Vav.
You don't need to do
Hayes.
You already did
Hayes. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. And there's no commentaries on it. So the first part, Isha Shalom the Torah, Yesh Lo Schar. The woman that has learning has Schar. So there is the Gra and Chaf Beis. So there is that sent you to. So Chaf Beis, what does the Gra say on that? The Ligar, to low. What is that, a Nun or a Gimel?
Trying to find it. Oh, Lamed Gimel.
I don't think it's a gimel. I think it's Delogara, that's it. Delogara minachri, because she is no worse than a nachri, as Gemara tells us in Baba Kama Deflam and Ches Amid Aleph. What is that talking about? So if you look up that Gemara, so the Gemara there makes there, and as well as in Maseches Sanhedrin, makes a comment that a nachri who learns Torah, he could get he could learn on the level of a Kohen Gadol. He could be considered to be on the level of his learning in terms of like a Kohen Gadol is. So the Gemara says, well, she's not worse than a guy, right? The nachrim really have prohibitions of what they're permitted and what they're prohibited to learn. So the Gemara right off the bat, okay. So maybe she doesn't get schar like him. She could get pretty. It's nothing to sneeze at. And he says, "I love lo because schar ish, not like a man. Why would she ain't mitzuva osa? But she's not mitzuva osa. So here the shach just sticks in sif zayin. The gadol hamitzuv tzuva osa misha ain't mitzuva osa. The chasuat tosu tosu says that tamif nisha mitzvah doig tamid levatel yitzur, because the mitzuva is constantly nervous about overriding its yitzur. L'kai mitzvah is born fulfilling the mitzvahs. For salom to misha mitzuva, the one who was commanded in Cain." There's a punishment if he violates it, and his Yetzer could override him. And when the Yetzer overrode him, and if he's very nervous about that, but if he's not commanded, so there's no punishment, then he doesn't have to worry so much, and therefore there's going to be less rewards. Fine. And then we get into this line, Savu Chazal, Shalo Yomur Adam Esbito Torah, if they share of an Ashram, in Daitan Chuvenis, Li Islam, and see them in Devri Torah, Devri Avai, the Fianias Daitan, in their humility and knowledge. And that's literally what it means. So Amr Chacham, we call Malamid Esbito Torah, Ki Ilu Malamid Tiflus, Redvar Mamurim, Torah Shabal Peh. About Torah Shabachsav, Lo Yomur Osal Lachachilavi Malamda, Inu, Kamalamid Tiflis, but Torah Shavuksav, they shouldn't teach them Lechavchila. But if you did teach it to them, it's not like you taught them Tiflis. Then the Rama adds in, and we call Malkum Chayev Seicha Lamudin Mashaychen Lisha. Well, he said, one second. There are things that a woman does need to learn. She has to know the halachos that are Shaykh Tar. So that's certainly something that she needs to do. And v'isha ina chayeves lumed es binatar, she's not obligated to teach her son. We call malkum ima uzra livna o labayla she yasku b'tora cholekes schar b'hadai. But if they do help their children or their sons or their husband, that they should be involved with Torah, so they get a portion of the schar along with them. That's similar to, I would think, to the Yisachar Zvulun partnership that I talked about in Sefalov, right? That there's certain, there is a partnership going on there, and could be a sharing of the schar as well. Fine. So, there's not much else available on the page, but there certainly is much off the page regarding this issue of, okay, so where does that leave us? So, there is sort of pre-Chafetz Chaim discussion and post-Chafetz Chaim discussion. So, because Chafetz Chaim, the Chafetz Chaim commented on that Gemara in Maseches Sota. But before, already, there is some discussion about, okay, how is this apple? So we had that Prisha, seemingly saying that there is no that if she teaches herself, things should be permissible. There's also an interesting discussion pertaining to Birchas HaTorah. If we're going to say a woman is pater in Birchas HaTorah, in Talmud Torah, so should they also be pater in Birchas HaTorah? So there are, I think the assumption is that they do make Birchas HaTorah. I would be interested in hearing if there are Sfardim that don't, because there is a machlokas as to why. So the Magen Avraham says the reason they make Birchas HaTorah is because they are chayiv to learn. They're not chayiv to learn, but they are. Right? They're chayiv to learn the halachos that are going to be relevant to them. So therefore there certainly is a fulfillment of Torah. The Vilna Gaon says, no, the reason they make a Birchas HaTorah is because they make a brachos on all mitzvos that they do, even if they're not obligated to do it. So Sfardim don't necessarily do that. Right? So
they don't make a bracha on all the mitzvos,
do you think? I'm not sure. The discussion is held, but it might be confusing with Minhagim. Okay, so I'm not sure. Put that. that aside. But finally, the third possibility is apparently the Briska Rav in his edition on the Rambam. So he quotes in the name of his father, Rav Chaim, that no, women make a berachas Torah because Torah needs a bracha to be made on it. Right? that's part of the deal. If one is going to learn Torah, so then one is going to have to make a bracha on it as well. So therefore, they would be required to do it. Fine. But even though he is post Chofetz Chaim, but his analysis, Rav Shach actually came in Sefer Avi Ezri on so Rav Shach actually wasn't just a politician, right? He was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he wrote a significant svarim on the Rambam. There's this. If you look at the old Avi Ezris, so they're like written in like totally disjointedly. Like he picked a couple of like the first edition is some books of the Rambam, and then he added like ones in later, and then the different editions have different ones. And if you look in the beginning of his editions here, so there's like little letters telling you which edition you could find this piece of the Avi Ezri in the original printings. And he actually writes the introduction, "I purposely left it all out of order because I don't really want people learning this book because they really should be focusing on Gemara and Rishonim, etc. You know, they don't need to learn my Lamdas, etc." But then someone came along and just put it all together, and it's a four volume book and everything's in order, and there's nicely indexed, and you can actually find things. And I happen to often appreciate his Torah. So he, on this Rambam, so he adds in He adds in himself, "Avali isha atzmihi mekayemes mitzvos Talmud Torah." But the woman herself, she fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Umutarasi lomun is permitted for her to learn. She yodas ba'atzma shalom del islami. Right? Because she's able to know for herself what she learns and to be able to teach. Velo totzi es divrei Torah ledivrei havai, and therefore the Torah won't be wasteful. Shrei mufurish ksav she mekabelas afilu schar el shehi ke'ena mitzvose. Because it says that she gets schar, so how can you tell me that it's going for waste if she's getting schar, right? It doesn't fit. So it has to be some type of benefit in the fact that she's doing this. And then he adds in, "We cave on she'ena leim ba'atzmo iser." And if that's the case, if there's no iser on her, so shuv hein tzrichas levarach. So obviously she's going to need to make a bracha on it. Kamoshim levarach was alkom mitzasase shesman grama. Just like she makes brachas on all mitzasase shesman grama. So either it's a risk involved, yeah. But if she goes and does this on her own, so then she's on the positive side of the risk. She's doing okay. It sounds like if there's only some kind of forcing her to do it, that's where you're going to run into the problem. So. Okay, and so then you add. So they're already, this is written later, but still, it's working within the Rambam. He's not going and saying, "Well, now times are different, etc." That idea that now times are different, so that seems to emanate from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim has a line in his commentary on the Gemara in Sukkah. It's quoted in several places. It just happens to be here in the Piskei Tshuva, so that's where I. That I'd read it from. So v'dasha kasev haChavetz Chaim she'iser hamuchlat l'mo Torah l'nashim who dafka b'doras hakanon. It's only in the previous generations. She called echad hayadar b'makom avosa, where everybody lived in their father's house. The kabbalah sa'avos hayachazak ba'od, and the kabbalah that they received from their father was very strong. It's called echad lisnag b'derach haTorah, that everybody could just follow the ways of the Torah. Aval ke'es, but nowadays ba'avonos harabim she kabbalah sa'avos nisrofif admo, that the acceptance from the father has gotten torn up. Ufrat usan hamargilos es atzman lumod chachmos hagayim vilishonosam, and that they've gone to learn the learning of the wisdom of the non-Jews and their languages. But vaday mitzvah rabba lamdan chumash v'neviim k'suvim. There certainly is a great mitzvah to teach them chumash, navi, and k'suvim. V'chein musrei chazal kagon meseches avos, and so to the musr of chazal like avos. The Sifrei Musar, Kadei Sheyis Ames Etzlon Emunaseinu Hakadosha, so that we'll be able to strengthen their holy emuna. V'yek Tris Bifnei Hashpas Harachov, and there'll be like a shield in front of the Harachov. what? Right, the street against the hashpas of the street. V'im lo tilamdena alulos l'sur l'gamri v'derech Hashem. If you don't teach them, so then they will leave completely from the derech Hashem. So that is the famous statement that the Chafetz Chaim made. That there seems like there's something, it has to be encouraged that wasn't going to be encouraged. That wasn't encouraged until that point. Now, what did he permit? Right? So the things that are explicit are anything in print, Nevi'im, Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and the Musar of Chazal, right? And the Sifrei Musar. So what about Rashi? Right? So Rashi is not necessarily the Musar of Chazal. Rashi is Midrashim of Chazal, usually in terms of understanding the pasuk. What about Ramban? Right, you say, well, Rashi, if without Rashi, you're not going to understand the Tanakh. Yeah. Fine, fine. But what about Ramban? Right, is that included in the Chafetz Chaim? And what about then the Mishnah? So the Chafetz Chaim doesn't seem to say Mishnah is okay. It doesn't seem to say Gemara is okay. On the other hand, that might have been permitted before, because they need to learn halachos. They need to learn halachos, at least that are shayach to them. So where does this go? So this, I think, breaks down. I think if you could probably make four categories as to where things have settled today. There is, on one extreme, the... I found today Tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi, or Bazar from Bnei Brak. Also, I think it pretty much lines up from what I know with the Shita of the Satmar Rav, where he said, yeah, but it's still going to be Usher. And he says that, well, we have a Mesorah that they're not able to handle it. Right, and it's not just right, there are some women that are able to, but most of them can't. And then he says, no, it's also simple that it isn't just a father teaching their daughter, but even a school is being prohibited to teach their daughters. And it's on the bottom here. And even though maybe they are permitted to do some things, there's no heter for them to learn with deep mafarshim such as the Ramban and even Rashi. Right? Halo malo v'gedush drash. It's filled with drashos of Chazal. So that should also sort of be out. That's pretty much where he leaves it. That they could learn halachos, the halachos that they need to know, in order that they not falter in halacha, and also see what the Satmar Rav wrote in Vayol Moshe. That's
the curriculum for the girls.
So I heard, I wasn't able to look this up, I remember a couple of years ago, Rabbi Willig wrote a famous Tvar Torah and on Torah, whoever, he said that if we may want to revisit the permissibility of Talmud to girls. I mean, some have given that permissibility, we want to revisit that, which drew like massive amounts of criticism. But I remember Ari Leibowitz gave a share at that point, where he sort of went through these shitas. I didn't listen to it since, but I remember him telling the story that the Satmar Rav, I hope I get the characters right, that someone came to the Satmar Rav and said, oh, someone came, but I think he ran to the Rebbetzin first. The Rebbetzin was involved with this. And he complained to the Rebbetzin that, I think that was the story, that he complained to the Rebbetzin that why is it that the girls are learning Rashi and Chumash? Rashi is filled with Chazal. And therefore, it's filled with Torah Sheval Peh, and therefore they shouldn't learn Rashi and Chumash. Now, I'm not sure the Satmar Rav felt himself bound by the Chafetz Chaim. I'm not sure. I mean, in the Shiva Levi here also, he doesn't quote the Chafetz Chaim at all. So I'm not sure they felt bound by that. He said they shouldn't be learning Torah Sheval Peh. So the Rebbetzin said they should be. Now, the Rebbetzin wasn't just she herself was a pretty tough character. I didn't know this until reading the book. Leader who will lead us. But when the Satmar Rav passed away, she to some extent claimed the Ravanas at some, even sitting on the dais at certain gatherings. This was there's some interesting things going on there. But here there is this commotion, and the Satmar Rav came out and said, "What's the commotion about?" So he said, "I said they shouldn't be learning Rashi and Chumash, and because it has Divrei Chazal." And the Rebbetzin said, "What do you mean? Of course you should be. What's the issue? It's Rashi and Chumash. You need to understand what the pasuk means." The Satmar Rav said, "He's right." She's like, "Well, all the schools teach Rashi and Chumash." He said, "Not anymore." He's right. And then and he took it out.
So what did they teach?
I'm not sure. Sen over Enna. I'm not sure. And how do you understand it? And isn't that we usually assume that it's more dangerous to learn Tanakh without a portion?
Yeah.
So that is. I hope I got the story. If not, it's on the table. It's something along those lines.
The boys would be learning secular school, and they were interested in these boys, just nothing in common with them.
Right. All right. No, that's what drove the Chafetz Chaim to write his thing. It was. I mean, the.
So, what did the Chafetz Chaims permit, and what did they not permit?
So his words are Tanakh, Musri Chazal, like Pirkei Avos, Sifri Musri.
Said that. Okay.
Right. So and things that will add on to Emunah. So the next moving along the lines, I guess from right to left, is the there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe wrote famously to Rav Svei about Torah Academy for Girls. Right, that's what the Shiloh was raised about. So he says, right, our schools are like Beis Yaakov, or like them. Right, they want to learn Mishnayos. So the Rambam writes, Parakalp Hilchos Tamat Torah, based on the Pasuk Rabbi Elazar, Besota Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, She'ein Lomo Livnos Torah, that he shouldn't teach girls Torah, Achu Mechalik She'keilu Melamda Tiflus, and it considers if they would teach them Tiflus, who? But Torah Shebal Peh. Right, the Vayin says, the idea that they're teaching them Tiflus, that's Torah Shebal Peh. But Torah Shebechsav, it's not like teaching them Tiflus. Ach Shechachila, even that they shouldn't learn. Al Kulpanim, Mishnayis Shehu Torah Shebal Peh, Mishnayis that is considered Torah Shebal Peh, Tzavu Chacham Shelo Yulamdim. V'hu Ki'ilu Lamdim Tiflus. That's already like teaching them Tiflus. V'lachin Tzarech Lemonam Mizeh, they shouldn't do that. V'rak Pirkei Avos, Mishum Shehu Inyani, Moser Van Hagos Tovos, Yeshu Lamdim Behezber, La'oran, La'ava Torah, Lindos Tovos. But that's Musar, that's something that will help them to learn Torah, to love Torah. I'm not sure what to learn, loving it, learn whatever. About lo shara mesachtos mitoch hapshitos ekatzer v'gomer bebracha, and that you should be able to learn Torah, your shemayim, and be able to teach it well, your friend Rav Moshe. That's the entire tshuva. Right, so he's pretty much has also cut it off at not gone beyond what the Chafetz Chaim permitted. So moving then. We're going to go to the last extreme, and then Rav Shechter, I think, is a little bit more in the middle. But the Rav famously gave his first Talmud here in Stern. He famously in that picture as well. I didn't check today, I believe. Sol Berman is in that picture, and I believe Rabbi Willig is in that picture, I think. I think Rabbi Willig gave the first class, and the first semester class. Think that's the history, and Rabbi the Rav came and gave the opening shiur for the girls learning Talmud there. So I found an article where Rabbi Jachter sort of summarizes the various shittos here, but he quotes from Rav Meir Tversky. Talked about his grandfather's practice, why was it okay? And he said, clearly, matter permit to provide instruction to zero. A father's obligation, chinuchly, to equal his sons and daughters. The prohibition of teaching oral law to women relates to optimal study. If ever circumstances dictate that study of the oral law is necessary to provide a firm foundation for faith, such study becomes obligatory and obviously lies beyond the pale of my prohibition. Of any prohibition. Undoubtedly, the Rav's prescription was far more reaching than Chafetz Chaim and others, but the difference in magnitude should not obscure their fundamental agreement. Intuitively, it is clear that the guidelines of the Talmud and Masechta Sota were never intended for our epoch. This is not an instance of modernism, but Torah intuition. So what is he saying? He's saying that the Chafetz Chaim felt the need to change something. Why did he feel the need to? He felt that it's important to teach them whatever is necessary to keep them within... Mm-hmm. Within the realm. So the Rav felt, yeah, that's the same, right? So well, maybe in those days, all you had to expand it a little bit to say, all right, teach them Tanakh and teach them Sifri Musar and Pirkei Avos. But perhaps now that expands in order to keep their interest, so to speak. You need to expand them, and perhaps that might even include the Mishnayos and Talmud study. And the I don't think it's here, but he quotes here from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein as well. Similar concept, Rav Ilchitzin, Rav Henkin argue that women who study secular studies at the highest level should also study Torah at their highest levels, including the study of Gemara. Rami Tanaz reported that the Lubavitcher Rebbe supported this idea of women studying Gemara. I went to check it up in the biography if it's there at all, but that's they're sort of all going in the, well, if they're going to be lawyers and doctors, so they should recognize that Torah is along the same levels as well. Oh, I forgot to quote as well, because he sent this Makor. Apparently there is a long discussion in the Torah Tamima on this, but the Torah Tamima is I'm not sure, he's not personally pre-Chavetz Chaim, but he is, but he actually quotes somebody here, that he's not sure who it is, but he quotes from the where is it? The Mayan Gunim, where I think that's what he's referring to at the end, is we're not sure who wrote this. But he says, but a woman who is able to do it on her own, so she would qualify as being in that Anamadrega, that would be okay. And then I came across this, somehow through the power of Google, I'm not even sure where this, like what website this is on, but from the 10 Dot Journal, Adar 5748. Where he, Ten Dot was a journal, I'm not sure who actually put it out, but it's like a Jewish education journal. I have a couple of volumes at home. So it was collected from there. So apparently there was a panel discussion with Rav Schechter and Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik regarding Talmud Torah for women. So, so first he talks about Dr. Grach, where he says, he doesn't seem to talk about Talmud Torah with these halachic issues per se, he just seems to talk about how important it is to learn Gemara, which is important. So then he has Rav Schechter here, quoting from the Rugged Shaver, responding to a different shaila of whether egalitarian laws of inheritance being followed today in Eretz Yisrael are binding as a function of Dina Malchus Dina or not. He said no, and added that the presumption of the comprehensive equality of men and women is inherently a Christian rather than a Jewish idea. That there are differences. First, one should acknowledge that there are differences between the two sexes. But on a more pragmatic level, Rav Schechter claimed that, in fact, the Jewish education young women have been receiving until this point heavily weighed in favor of... So following learning halacha is the more traditional approach. He then goes on and says that, and this I've heard from him as well, that so a girl's way of studying, right, what they normally teach, which is normally Tanakh, Halacha, and Hashkafa, and maybe a little bit of Gemara to get to those points. So he says that's probably a better way of learning anyways, and it's probably a better way of learning for the boys as well. That's probably a better curriculum for boys. I believe his language once was, it's bad enough that we've messed up the boys' education, why should we mess up the girls' education as well? But his Shita is also along the lines, it also says that while men have the obligation to be able to learn Kol Torah Kula, which would then include the Torah Shabbat and Gemara, women don't have that obligation. So a woman who would like to go and study, so one is permitted to, they are permitted to study it, and you'd be permitted then to teach it, but it should always be optional. So that's his Shita. I believe Rabbi David, who started the girls' Mevaseret, when he started, I don't know what it's now, but I think it was really when it started, so Gemara was always optional based on the Shita of Rav Schechter, that we're going to have an optional Talmud Shir, but it's not going to be required. Now, one can make a case, for instance, if the school is going to make it as part of their mandatory curriculum, you can still make the case of, well, they don't have to come here, right? They're opting into the curriculum by coming to the school. But that I've sort of got along with is that boys should be encouraged certainly to learn Gemara extensively, and girls have the option of getting in if they want to, but it shouldn't be forced or imposed upon them. So I think that kind of gives us the four shitas, right? You have the Sahara that pretty much prohibits everything. With or without the Chafetz Chaim, but very minimal, and certainly not venturing into Torah Shebaal Peh beyond maybe Pirkei Avos. Right, then you have Rav Moshe, who Magus permits that. Well, certainly permits that because that's what's. He permits that any nani moser, etc., but still not going within to the realm of Mishnayos and that type of Torah Shebaal Peh, but to learn halacha. Then you have the Rav or Rav Lichtenstein, that group saying that no, it's necessary today in order for them to be competent in today's world or to be able to, and in our type of communities, they are going out and getting secular degrees and things like that. That it's necessary for them to have an equivalent. Rigorous learning of Gemara, and then you have the caveat that Rosh Hashanah adds in, but yeah, perhaps it should be optional, that for boys it might be mandatory, but for girls it should be optional, therefore fulfilling, even going all the way back to people like the Prisha and the Torah Tamima, who seem to direct in that way as well, that a father to impose it on their child is problematic, but for the daughter to, father to impose on his daughter is problematic, but for a girl to learn on her own, so that could be permissible, as she recognizes in her heart that she's doing it for the altruistic reasons, and we would then trust those feelings that she professes. All right?
Christians.